Welcome to the Age of Stories, a podcast about the people of the 21st century and the stories that come from them. We broadcast over Twitch every Sunday and are open to chatting with fans during the show. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout. My co-host is Motor Rory, who helped me create this create a 40-person, 4-table Gen Con event, as well as our other podcast, Crossing Darkness.
Frozen.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I think we didn't write the script correctly
No,
today.
we
Anyway,
didn't.
today we're going to be talking about my recent trip to Origins Game Fair 2021. So I'm just going to tell the quick story of why I started going to Origins and kind of why I went this year and all that. So I started going to Gen Con with you. After taking a break of, I think, about 10 years, because I went to Indy for a few years. And then I met you, and you were like, yeah, me and my friends go to Gen Con every year. And I was like, well, we're friends now, and I'm going to go with you.
Hell yeah.
And that first year, I got back into a game called Legend of the Five Rings, which is a samurai-themed RPG. I had previously played in what is called a living campaign called Heroes of Rokugan. And so when I got there to Gen Con for the first time in 10 years, I was like, I'm gonna go see if that's still around. So I did. And I actually really enjoyed it. And so Saturday night of that Gen Con, at the end of their little LARP slash what they called it an interactive, but it was really a LARP. A guy gets up on a chair and he's like, hey, just so you know, this is a great group of people. And if you want to come to all of the stuff we do, we go to Gen Con. We have two conventions that we do in Kansas City every year, which is where they're based. And they also go to Origins. And so I went home and I was like, I got money, I got time. I'm just gonna do this. And I did eventually. For the next 2 years, I went to every single one of their conventions, and in fact, a year after that.
How many conventions was that?
So I went to the two in Kansas City every year for 3 years. And so it was because for the next 2 years, they were wrapping up the 5-year campaign. And then they started what they called an interstitial 1-year campaign. And it was basically okay, make whatever character you want. This is just the, get the bullshit. The crap out of your system because everybody wanted to play a Naga and they never let anybody play a Naga, which is a snake person. So they did that. And at the end of that year was when we started running our the 40 person game. So I kind of fell out of LFIR. But anyway, so that is to say that around that time I started going to Origins. And it just so happened that Origins is in Columbus, Ohio, and a good friend of mine from college went to law school in Cleveland, Ohio. So when I went to Origins that first year, I'm like, hey, why don't I go the day before and I'll stay at your place and we can hang out and then I'll go to Origins the next day. And that's how it's been for, geez, it's almost been 10 years now, which is weird to think.
It is kind of crazy how time flies.
And just in the past 4 years, they had a kid, him and his wife, and bought a house, just before COVID. So this was, so I met their kid, 2 years ago, but now she is 3 years old and, they're vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. I got tested on the way just to make sure. And I got to see this kid for the first time, and she doesn't know how to call people by name, but it was very lovely. But anyway, so that's why I go to Origins, because not only is it a pretty it's a fine convention, let's put it like that. It's not the greatest thing in the world. It's a fine convention. You get to play games. There's an exhibitor hall. A lot of people go to it. But yeah, so I got to see my friend in Cleveland. And he usually comes down for at least like Friday and Saturday, but he decided not to because of COVID. So I got to just kind of be there by myself. You've come with me, I think, a couple times. It's
Yeah, it's an interesting, it's a much smaller, feels like a much more Gen Con light with focus on more tabletop gaming without a lot of the, I mean, it kind of felt like Gen Con this year, to be honest.
Yeah, Gen Con this year felt like Origins in years past.
Yeah.
Because Origins was kind of like the 20 to 25,000, maybe up to 30. I don't know. And this year Gen Con was down to about 35, I think is the estimate.
Right, yep. Yeah, so what were some of the things that you were doing at Origins this year? Was there anything that you had like gone into Origins this year and been like, 'cause I know you've done like L5R and you've done a couple other different like interactives or you know, role-playing games
Yeah.
that you were interested in. Was there anything that going into Origins that you were like, this is why I have to go this year?
Yeah, kind of. Okay, so just to go back to the L5R real quick, they stopped going to Origins about 5 years ago. I think I would have kept up with L5R if they had kept going to Origins. I think that's kind of
So they
why
just
part
do
of why.
their was it Kentucky you said?
Yeah, so they still go to Gen Con. They were there this year. I feel bad about not stopping by. If anybody from Heroes of Rokugan is watching this, I'm really sorry I didn't stop by. You guys are great. I'm pretty sure they still do their two conventions in Kentucky. And what they did was, and I don't know this for sure, but it was one of the players of Heroes of Rokugan who lives in Texas. Was like, I run these modules for like all these people in a game store. And this is a guy who's written for Legend of the Five Rings. He's super into it. He's into a lot of gaming stuff, writes for a bunch of different stuff. And he basically said, I will cover the bill for you to come to my local convention. And so they did that. And they were like, well, we're just going to stop going to Origins. But anyway, so L5R stopped. But after they stopped, I started playing in these LARPs run by a company called Kettle of Fish, and that it's a bunch of people out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they run these 2-hour LARPs that are just here's a slip of paper with one paragraph of information about your character, here's some poker chips that represent some sort of mechanic in the game, just go, and it's these madcap 2-hour just. Remember playing like stupid pretend game was it when you were a kid? Oh my God, that's exactly what it is. You look around the room and you're just like, I don't know what's going on, but this is really fun. Unfortunately, they were not there this year.
Oh no.
But that actually is a good segue into the first thing that I played. So normally Origins is Wednesday through Sunday. It's a 5-day gaming convention. I don't know historically why that is. I think it's because it was originally run by Gamma, which is GAMA. Let me just show you there. Actually, I'm not even sure they were a sponsor this year. But they were like, I think they were more into miniatures and wargaming stuff.
Okay,
And so
yep.
it was lots of long simulated battles, and it was mostly older people, so they can get away with the 5 days. But this year it was Thursday through Sunday.
So they cut it down one day.
Yeah, and I mean I think that's pretty much just because of the pandemic. But anyway, so I showed up on Thursday. I left my friend's house in Cleveland and drove the 2 hours. And I was really tired because I had stayed up late drinking with him the night before. And I was just like, I'm not gonna do anything until I get my badge and check into my hotel. Couldn't check into my hotel until 3. So like I didn't get to do anything until later that night. And the thing that I signed up for was actually listed as a Kettle of Fish game. The LARPing company that I referred to before. And it turned out it was not a LARP. And it was not run by Kettle of Fish. It was a friend of theirs who had been a GM for some of their games. Couldn't get the Kettle of Fish company off of his internal profile in their system. So it just listed his game under Kettle of Fish.
Oh.
And now, let me preface this with I had a pretty good time. It wasn't like out of this world, But so the guy that was running it was gifted a murder mystery party game. And he was like, I just wanted to run it. So I put in two slots on Thursday night. And let me show you. So it should be Gray Catsby character sheet, Murder in the Roaring Twenties. And it's basically just a comedy murder mystery game where it's, and it says in the directions, highly scripted. And it's literally you just, so one person is randomly drawn as the murderer, and you go around and you have pre-written questions that you ask, and you have pre-written answers that you give.
Oh, really?
And
So
yeah,
it's
and the basic mechanic of the whole thing is that there are lots of little details, and only the murderer will have like one contradicting detail. And so
okay.
that's what you're trying to figure out is that thing. And the highlight of the whole thing was just reading these pun-filled, fantastical little paragraphs. And like one guy, his character was like an old-timey movie star lady, and he was just like in character reading it like really over the top. Like it was fun. Oh, and I was the murderer.
Oh, you were the murderer. Okay,
Yeah,
so
and only one person guessed right, so I guess I did good.
nice. How many people were involved in the game?
Oh, I think it was just like seven.
Seven people. So it's similar
Yeah,
to like
there's
The Office's murder mystery thing with maybe a little bit
I
more
think it's almost
scripty.
exactly, yeah, I think it's almost exactly the same thing.
So
Okay, so there
I've
are,
gone to those at dinner party type stuff.
yeah.
I did that once for one of my jobs. It's always kind of an interesting thing that we I don't remember playing an exact character or anything because it was more like a theatrical thing that was going on around you for what I went to. So it'd be interesting to actually be part of the script, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, and so there were only like seven characters, but there's 14 possible. So if you had like everybody, so we were just sitting around a table, like literally taking turns asking people questions, because like all the questions are written for everybody in the back. Here, I'll just show you.
Yep.
It's literally just you just pick one and you ask it, and then you get the answer, and so. So in there's three rounds, and in the second round is when you start getting the guilty answers, and that
Okay.
so but anyway, it was just a good time, and we did a lot of just talking about gaming and hey, this is our first convention back, and just talking about stuff in general, and it was just pretty good.
Nice. Nice. So that was your first game that you played at Origins. What did you do after that? Was that the end of the night for Thursday?
Yeah, that was the end of the night on Thursday. And then Friday, I signed up for a session of Artemis. I don't know if you
Oh,
remember
yes.
Artemis.
I love Artemis. So for anybody that's listening, or watching, we are we're a group of gamers that as soon as we heard about Artemis, Mike or Moto had a place that was perfect for it. You had like a projector, so you had like the big screen. It's basically Star Trek, where you play the bridge crew, and then skinned over to a certain degree with this just made up world that kind of existed. And you get to play the science officer. You get to play the there's a
Yes, that's
captain, a science officer, a weapons officer, a helmsman, and a communications officer.
communications and did you say engineering?
And engineering. Yes, that's the
Yeah, so
last one.
it's the five actual stations and then the captain. Yeah, so the second the slot that I signed up for only there were only two players.
Oh no.
But apparently that happens a lot. So it was just the three people that were working We're just like, okay, we're just going to take the other stations.
Oh, cool.
And it
So you
was,
had a full crew then.
yeah, we had a full crew, and the guy who was running the helm was like the guy who was running the whole game thing, and he was just like, well, I'll just be the captain. I kind of wanted to do it, but
You make a good captain. I always liked you as captain.
oh yeah, no,
I
I'm a great
loved Captain, by the way. That's like
oh,
the only position
captaining.
I really want to ever play when I play that game.
Captaining is super fun. But here's the thing. They've made a lot of changes to the game since I've played, which was well over 5 years ago. And man, I had no idea what was going on half the time for the first like half hour, because I was like, what are these things you're saying to me? It was just, they just added a lot of stuff to the game. So we played through like a semi-scripted scenario. And that took about, I think, an hour 15. And then we just did the siege mode, which is just like a randomized map and like enemies show up. And so I played the science officer on the first one, so I was just scanning things. And then on the second one, I was the weapons officer. And they had touch screens and they had a projector for like the big screen. So it was pretty well done. I will say that it was probably not worth the $14 that I paid for it.
Oh, it was only 14. That's not that bad. I
It was
mean,
only 14, and it's, yeah, in the past it was like 20, 25.
yeah, it was really, I was gonna say, I was expecting you to say a lot more than that.
Yeah, but
But
for
why
what
would you
they,
say it wasn't worth 14?
just because it was just like, you just come in and you press buttons for a while, and there wasn't a lot of fun. I mean, it was fun, like getting good at what you were doing. But like, I think they needed more of a scripted scenario and more of a crew.
Just
I don't
wasn't
know.
like
It
playing
just,
with your buddies back in the day.
yeah. I'll say this: if I had gone to a later session where it was just players and none of the workers at the thing, and we had a captain and it was a little bit higher difficulty, but everybody was like really into it and like knew what they were doing on their particular station, I think it would have been amazing.
Okay.
But this was more of a just kind of like, okay, we're gonna zoom around the board and we're just gonna shoot stuff, and okay, that's
Yeah, I
pretty
see what
much it.
you're saying. So it's a lot more fun when you had built up expertise with, like especially like the stuff that we did where we played for like days and days and weeks and it was
Yeah, and we were only doing the siege mode.
yeah. And getting good at just coordinating all that stuff. Well, I mean, we made up our own scenarios too and shit like that. There was some weird fun stuff. I jumped into one of your games one time, I
Okay, yeah.
remember, and because you could play online and I just had my own ship that I was crewing by myself and people were like, "What the hell is going on? There's
Oh
an
yeah,
enemy
for
ship incoming."
we thought you were some sort of like computer generated thing for so long, and then it was like, oh no, he's actually like, you remoted into my network, because we were figuring out all the port forwarding at the time so people could play remote, and all of a sudden the ship shows up, it starts zooming around because the computer controlled things can't go at warp, and that's like the big deal, and all of a sudden there's this ship we don't recognize going at warp speed, and you're just like, what the
I think I
What's
shot a
going on?
torpedo at you
Yeah, I think so.
and then I got blown up promptly after
Oh,
that.
you got blown up real fast because you were trying to run every single station.
Right, all by myself, which
Yeah,
is
which
extremely
is almost
difficult.
impossible. Yeah. But yeah, so I think there's a lot there. I was actually just thinking today, Artemis would make more sense if it was a submarine game, because the game is inherently in two dimensions because it's way too difficult to make it in three dimensions, I guess. I don't know. I think somebody should do it. But the whole point of the game is that there's a lot of information coming at each player, and they have to distill that information down and respond to it and tell the captain what's going on at the same time as dealing with it. And so it really gets your brain into that mental flow state when there's a lot of stuff going on. and you know what to do with it. But yeah, so that was fun.
Yeah, I also own the Star Trek version of that. There's Star Trek Bridge Officer or something like that. Star Trek Bridge, or I can't remember what it is, but I got it. It's like you can do
Like Star Trek
VR with
Bridge
it.
Simulator.
Yeah, Bridge Simulator. Yeah, it looks interesting. It looks like the same thing, but more Star Trek-y themed. Someday I want to sit down and play that. It seems really interesting. But anyways, moving on. So that was your Friday night. Did you do anything else
Oh,
Friday?
that was Friday morning.
Friday morning.
I did that at 11, I think. So after that, I walked around a little bit, and I just want to say the Ohio Dental Association was there. So normally Origins happens in June, and this year it happened in September, the end of September, and the Ohio Dental Association already had their like yearly convention booked, but they only took up like one exhibit hall or one of the main halls. But the thing was, normally at a gaming convention, let's just say the types of people that you see walking around are of a certain appearance. And I saw a lot of young, very fit people in very nice clothing walking around with a different style of badge. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? They are definitely not gamers. I almost went into the hall because I was looking for the vendor hall. And I was
Right.
like, that's not the vendor hall. Oh, Ohio Dental Association.
Stumbled
But yeah.
into the dental. I mean, are you sure? Was it maybe a serial killers convention on in disguise? Like, did you
No, serial killers
investigate?
aren't that well dressed. The only comment I'll make about it is everybody in the gaming convention was very good about keeping their masks on at all times. The dentists were not.
Like,
Which
I got
is
teeth to show
ironic, isn't
off.
it? Yeah, it's ironic. Well, actually, yeah, I got teeth to show off. I hadn't thought of that one. No, it's because dentists already wear masks all the time, right? Because
Interesting. Weird.
Anyway, so later that day on Friday, one of the things I like about Origins is they have these writer panels. Now, if you're a writer and you want to talk to writers, go to Origins because nobody else goes to these panels. I went to two, and it was me, two other people, both times. The same people.
Oh, wow.
And in both panels, there were two people on the panel. So you literally just sit up front and you basically just have a conversation with like actual writers.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
But yeah. So the first one was just about what is your writing process? And it was just these two ladies that were talking about like what time of day do they write? How do they get in the mood? We had a discussion about can you write with music on in the background? Can that music have words in it? If the words are not in English, is that better? I told them about how I like listening to live sets from my particular one right now is Arcade Fire live sets from like big festivals that they do because they're really well put together, they flow well, and I know all the songs, so I just don't pay attention to them, but it's nice to have background music.
Interesting.
They talked about drinking tea, how they get out of a funk if they're in a funk, stuff like that. But it was just nice to hear that like professional writers have trouble writing. They talked about how they set up their space. Whether or not they're good at writing in public places, like going to a coffee shop or something like that. And it was just pretty good.
Any pointers that you personally kind of felt hit home?
Not particularly. I mean, I don't write that much. I should do more because I'm working on those Hunter modules. working on those Hunter modules, I say, as I haven't done a lick of work in 3 weeks, mostly because Gen Con and Origins. But no, I mean, I do all right. I know when I'm in the mood to do it. I get myself in the mood. I mean, what are you expecting? It's two random writers that I've never read any of their shit. I don't know if they're any good. They get paid to do it. They're very nice people, though. Although actually there was kind of one interesting thing. There's I kind of want to find this. It's like a prompt deck, and it's just like a bunch of random shit in a deck. And so you a way to warm yourself up is you flip three cards, and then you have to write like just a one paragraph thing that includes like those three elements. And you'll find that just gets your brain working.
Hell yeah, man.
Um,
Cool. So after you did these writing seminars, what happened after that?
uh, well, that was the first writing seminar. The second one was actually about document formatting. And oh man, I didn't know about document formatting. But now this is mostly in the context of you are putting together the final version of a book.
Right.
And so the main takeaway is most beginning writers use either Google Docs or Microsoft Word as a word processor, and then they dump that into either, if they're trying to self-publish, they can dump it into like this formatting thing that Amazon has, which I don't remember what it was called. But apparently that is terrible. And they went through the main point is a book that is properly formatted is going to have something called a style sheet. So you're going to have one style for your title card for each chapter. You're going to have a style that defines what your italics is going to look like. Apparently, there is usually a style that is defined for the first paragraph in a chapter. Because sometimes the first paragraph in a chapter will have like a stylized letter at the beginning. It's called a drop caps. There's a style definition for your page number. There's a style definition for all these things. And so beginning writers don't know that, and they like do all this formatting in like Word and give it to the person who has to like do this work, and that person has to go through and just like delete all these things and redefine them, because there's like actual programs that professional layout uses. And apparently the big one is Adobe InDesign, but there are some free versions.
Okay.
So we're gonna have to learn about all that
Yeah.
as we move forward with working on the Madison Under Siege source book, which oh man, it's kind of daunting now that I've gone to that particular panel.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of work for sure. But I'm glad that you got a little view into that universe, and maybe we can use that info
I
to
think
improve our
I think the
book.
main thing is that I learned about like the three programs. It's like Calibre and two other ones. But I got them written down somewhere.
That's
So
good.
we'll have to, I'll look into that. We can look at that later. But anyway, so I think that day is, well, I went to the LARP later, but the vendor hall was kind of interesting. So normally Origins has just the normal vendor hall where it's kind of separated from the board gaming, card gaming hall. But this year was a lot smaller, and they only had like half of the convention space. So I was looking around for it, and I'm like, where the hell is the vendor hall? And so I go back to the gaming hall, and way in the back, it's like a third of the size it normally is. And it was just like put back in a corner. Now that being said, it had all the vendors. I was not missing anything. The only thing that I miss from conventions is half price books and the vendors that are from like similar to Half Price Books like have all the old stuff, because I like to look through that for like stuff that I'm missing.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So I didn't get that fixed this year, but I'll tell you what I bought later.
Okay, we'll do a little dive into
Just,
that.
yeah. I mean, it's not much, but I do want to talk about the LARP. So, yeah. So Friday night I went to a LARP, which was a werewolf changeling LARP. I don't know if this is the company that he's starting, but the guy running it was Paul R. Ring. I don't know if the mascot organization is the company that he's starting. Probably not, because it's just mascot.org. This is he works. He's the national staffing manager for mascot.org. That's interesting. But he's been running LARPs for years, and he is like, I'm starting a business that is helping people run LARPs, write games, all this stuff. And he's got a theater major and all this stuff. Really good guy. But it was just so at the beginning of the first night, it's a 6 hour LARP, 6 to midnight. And I get there and I'm like, okay, werewolf changeling. But everybody else was choosing werewolf, and I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll take a changeling so that you have a mix. And then at some point, you know, after this, one of the guys running the game is sitting down and talking to me for like 20 minutes about knockers so that I actually know what the hell I'm doing. They're like, you know what? Nobody else is doing changeling. Just go ahead and take a werewolf. And I'm like, okay, Glasswalker, please. And I get the Glasswalker that's rank 3 hitman. And I'm looking at it for about 30 seconds, and then Paul here grabs it out of my hands. He's like, that's too high of a rank. Here's a cub. So I was a cub at the beginning. I'm unranked.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Why did he have a reason behind why you shouldn't have that high of a rank?
I think it was story based, although there were other people with rank. I don't know if because when I came in, I was like, well, I don't know much about changeling. So I don't know if they assumed I didn't know much about werewolf.
That could be.
But you know, I do. I know a fair amount about werewolf. But anyway, so I got a Glasswalker cub. I can do whatever I want with it. Although it was a Metis, I don't think I would have chosen that. But the game was set in the 80s in West Virginia. And so I was wearing my metal t-shirt from Lords of the Trident. And I brought along my little, it's called a mini Moog. And I hooked it to my speaker. Because I was like, it's the 80s. I'll be able to make sci-fi synth sounds from 80s music. And I'll try to work it in somehow. So they gave me a Metis. And I'm like, okay, you know what happens with this Metis? He can't howl. So he rigged together this thing that makes sounds for him to howl.
That's
And
beautiful.
here's the thing. I feel like I'm being annoying when I'm doing it. But at the end of the game, everybody was like, that thing is really cool. That was fun. I was like, okay, well, I'll do it tomorrow then. Because I wasn't planning on doing the second night. Actually, I didn't know coming in on Friday that there was a Saturday. But I was like, you know what? I'm coming back tomorrow.
That's
So I
awesome.
did. Yeah. And the one of the other guys that also played a cub hung out for a few hours after the game. Well, actually, was it? Yeah, because it ended at midnight. So no, it was just about an hour or two. Went and got some beers. And hopefully I'm going to reach out to him and get him on this podcast in the future. We'll see how that goes.
That'd be awesome. So was there like an overarching story that was going on in the LARP? What was your, if you had to like
Oh
break it
yeah.
down into what was the overarching story that you were involved in?
Okay. So somewhere in West Virginia, there is this kind of place where a bunch of werewolves just kind of randomly show up. And it turns out that it's Turtle has reawakened, or Turtle has, Turtle is an Incarna. So it's a really powerful spirit, but it's been like kind of missing for a long time. And Turtle was the totem of the Croatan, the missing tribe. And there's a bunch of like hints that maybe Turtle is kind of back. So a bunch of people show up in this place, and I found out later that the girl running it was actually an NPC. She wasn't a player. She like knew all the people running it and was playing an NPC. So she starts with a moot, and she's asking everybody why we're here. And it's like, the spirit sent us. It's like, it doesn't say on my sheet why I'm here. I'm just making it up. But it's, essentially by the end, it turns out that the Croatan have existed somewhere out in an umbral realm somewhere. And for whatever reason, they're trying to get back. And the Eater of Storms is also coming in conjunction with that. So we never fought the Eater of Storms because that's, one of the actual aspects of the Triadic Worm. But it was present. Fought a bunch of worm creatures. I don't think we actually ever fought any Black Spiral Dancers. But essentially, there was a construction site that if you go into the Umbra, there's like and you walk away from it and look back, it's a giant turtle shell. And there were a bunch of Croatan artifacts up there that created a silver path through the Umbra to get to where the missing Croatan were. And so we had to go in, we had to fix it. And at the end, a bunch of Native Americans rode back in and were like, hey, we're the Croatan.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he went that far with it. We've just been gone for 200 years or something.
That's pretty cool.
But
So they gave you like this special event that is not like you'd get out of any normal campaign. And that's kind of cool that they did it all in 2 days.
And then the changeling side of it, because a bunch of people came the second day, who played changelings. And the changeling part of it was that it was the heart of the cairn was stolen by the Duke of whatever the changeling thing is, the duchy.
Right, the cap court or whatever.
And for whatever reason, him stealing that trapped him in some sort of umbral realm or banality for 200 years. And so what we did allowed him to escape from that. And he comes back and puts the heart of the cairn back. And so the cairn is now like fully active.
Oh.
And he's now also released from his imprisonment. Now,
And there
I
was
don't
like
know
a
much about
truce
that.
between the werewolves and the vampire, or the werewolves and the changelings, or was there?
There was not a lot of talking back and forth between the werewolves and the changelings as I remember it.
Okay, yep.
I mean, overall, it was a fun time. There were only a few times that I can remember during the game where I was sitting and didn't know what the hell was what I should do or didn't have anything to do.
Kept you quite
It was
engaged.
I mean, they did have like five people running it for I think maybe 15 people. So the total ratio for that LARP is maybe a little high for storytellers versus players. But when you've only got 15 players, you need a lot of storytellers. So,
Yeah. Interesting.
overall, it was really good. Everybody was super nice. I did get to, because I was a cub, I did the rite of initiation with the other guy that I met. And the guy who ran it as a werebear
Okay.
because that was the character he was playing And none of the other werewolves had the rite of initiation, you know, written down on their sheet, even though it's one of the most common rites. And during the rite, he was like, "Sing me your deeds." And I was like, "Ah, shit." The other guy actually sang. I played my little instrument. And afterwards, I was like, "Oh man, I'm the guy that literally says sometimes you gotta sing."
You
And I
sang in
didn't.
one of our actual play episodes.
I sang in multiple actual play
Yeah, you
episodes.
just need to get drunk while you're at these
Yeah, see,
LARPs.
I wasn't drinking at the
Yeah.
LARP at Origins. I
Yeah,
drank afterwards.
you do love to sing while you're drinking.
Yeah, I do.
Can you sing for us right now?
No. But anyway, so I named my character, well, I named him Valdemar, which is a family name for me. But I named him Sings with Sirens based on the musical instrument thing. But then the guy running the rite of initiation was like, he named me Fights for Peace, which I think is a stupid name.
Wait, why did he not like your name? Did he
Well, because
just say,
apparently you need a new one or something.
oh,
I don't know.
so.
I don't think you're even supposed to have the descriptive name until the rite of initiation. So I don't know. I might be wrong about that. Those guys did know more about werewolf LARPing than me, like the moots and the different jobs you're supposed to have and
Right, the whole
all of that
shebang of it
stuff.
instead of being a pack of wolves that are just going out kicking ass, taking
Yeah.
names.
Yeah, there was a lot of good combat though. A lot of chops, a lot of
Lot
chops being thrown.
of
It
combat
was,
chops.
yeah, and they did that thing where it's like, okay, wherever you are right now, that's where you are. And every round is, okay, what's your initiative based on the dots? Oh, let me show you my character sheet. So my guy had low physical, but high mental. So my initiative was still high, but my attack numbers were low compared to a lot of people.
Wow, that looked a lot like a tabletop version
Oh yeah,
character
no, it
sheet.
is. It's very close, but up at the top you can see it's the Mind's Eye Theater,
Yep.
Werewolf of the Apocalypse. And there's yeah, I mean it's very close, but like for Gnosis down here, it's like 15 squares, and you start with 10. And then willpower is a completely different track here. Just because the way you track it in a LARP is different.
Yeah, there's slight game mechanic differences. But yeah, that's a really I don't know. I guess the newer stuff that's coming out there or that came out for Mind's Eye Theater was pretty good for like the character sheets and stuff like that. But I just remember character sheets being really wonky all the time looking and I love the tabletop format of World of
Yeah.
Darkness, how sleek the character sheets are.
Yeah, and I will say there's probably a better way to do it for LARPing, just to simplify it, but it is pretty simple. 'Cause like you don't have the three mental traits. It's you have one number for all three, and then you get one that's a bonus, and your bonus isn't bought, it just goes up with rank. So like my mental is at a 7, and at rank 1 I have a bonus of 1, and it's in wits. And so when they call for, okay, what's your if you have to give me the number for wits, what is it? I would say 8. And so that comes into play when you tie on a chop, which is rock, scissors, paper, which everybody understands. Although it started with, you know, 1, 2, 3, throw. To at the end, like by the end, everybody was doing this. You close your eyes, you look away, and you put what you're going to do behind your back, and then you pull it out. Because sometimes when you look at the timing, some people do 1, 2, throw. And if somebody does that and the other person miraculously like changes their thing at the end.
Right.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people have the cards.
Yep, it's there's like the cards or a ring. I've used a ring before.
Yeah. I found myself by the end of it, like, thinking about which of the three the person, like, usually the GM or the storyteller, had thrown recently. And like, okay, which one am I going to do? And I would, like, really decide it rather than just kind of doing it in the moment. So I kind of like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't work. Like, I would like to see somebody do a statistical breakdown and see if there are people who do better over time. Because it should be 33% on each. Win, tie, lose.
Yeah.
If you do it enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was it. I stayed up too late on Friday hanging out with my new friend. So I didn't do anything on Saturday except for sit in my hotel room watching Battlestar Galactica.
Always a good thing to watch.
Yeah, ordered some food. Because, like, in the past, I have forced myself to do too much at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it makes it so you're not having a good time anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to take a little break as much as you need, you know.
And so I just did that on spent the day on Saturday in my room and then went to the LARP at 6 and hung out with my new friend and my old friend that I met from doing LARPs previously. And then on Sunday I just left.
Yeah. So what was some of the stuff that you bought? You said you got some cool items.
Yeah. So the two free things that you can get at gaming conventions is the six-sided die that Crystal Cast usually puts out. And I did get a 2021 Origins Crystal Cast die that's sitting up upstairs. I paid $2 for the 2020 Origins die because I keep, like, at the time I was thinking to myself, like, well, I didn't go to 2020, so I shouldn't buy that.
Nobody went.
And I was like,
2020.
Yeah, it's like, but they still bought them. They still made them because they ordered them like a year in advance.
Right.
So they're selling them. And I'm like, I'm going to kick myself if I don't buy it. So I bought it. One of the things that Origins does is they have a free pint glass. And I didn't get it this year. I just didn't.
Oh.
I do feel bad about that, but, you know, whatever. I'll buy it secondhand in like 30 years. and the thing that I did buy, this is the only thing.
This thing's heavy. Oh, whoa. Gloomhaven. Yeah. Gloomhaven. Ah, so for our listeners, this is a big giant box called Gloomhaven that,
I should weigh this. It is like 20, 30 pounds.
Solid. So what, tell me, what is Gloomhaven?
Cooperative game of tactical combat in a unique evolving fantasy world. It's only 1 to 4 players, which I find strange. So I feel like it should be more. But it's a hex-based dungeon crawler with lots and lots of parts. But it's a lot of scripted dungeons. And so there's like a built-in campaign. Lots of mechanics. I hear it's pretty cool. There's...
Hey, Orange. Thanks for stopping on in. Yeah, Origins is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And so there, I think there's a lot of scripting, or there's a lot of scripts that, like, normally some of the people at the table would read aloud. But they've got audio narration. So, like, professional voice actors doing the scripts for, like, the stuff. So very I don't want to cool. play this until I have this area completely done.
Yep.
So that'll be in about 5 years.
What? Come on. You can get it done better than that. But yeah, Orange, we're talking right now about Mike's adventure that he had at Origins. And just about to finish up here. But yeah, you can check all the cool stuff. Oh, is that an expansion for it?
Yeah, this is an expansion called Jaws of the Lion.
So you got something, an expansion for it that you plan to play in 5 years?
No, I'm obviously going to do it earlier than that. My area set up, we'll do it at your house.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of fun, though.
Oh, yeah. I've heard good things about Gloomhaven. You know, our friend Brian said that he's played it. He played a few sessions right before the pandemic. And actually, I was just hanging out with my family. And this is a fun little cap for this little chat session. I was just hanging out with my sister and her husband who live in the Chicagoland area. And they had some friends that recently moved to Germany. And they were famously the couple that had all the board games, like literally all the board games. And they didn't want to bring all the board games with them to Germany. So long story short, my sister and her husband have like 60 of those. Now, a lot of them are the little like small box card games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she said one of them is Gloomhaven. Like they have a copy of Gloomhaven that they did not pay for. And yeah, who knows?
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and wrap on up here. It's been great to hear what you did at Origins. Orange, I highly suggest you to check out the whatever the hell it's called when we're done. It's just on Twitter. Check it out on YouTube and stuff like that. And the podcast.
And the podcast.
But yeah, go ahead and definitely check out originsgamefair.com. You'll have that in the show notes. You can see all the cool stuff that goes on at Origins. My plan is to personally go there next year and start run a game next year. All depending on how the world ends up and what everybody decides to do for next year. So that's my plan, is to hit up some of the, continue to try and hit up these conventions. I had to skip this year, but hopefully next year shouldn't be as hard to get it to fit in. So if you want to check out all the stuff that we do here on the Age of Stories podcast, as well as the Golden Age Stories Network in general, you can go to our website, theageofstories.com. And don't forget to tune in to our Mage the Ascension game, Technogate, on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time on Twitch at twitch.tv/GoldenAgeStories. And remember, that's Golden spelled G-U-L-D-A-N. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.